Our world is not at rest. Too many of us live at a breakneck pace, trying desperately to stay on top of everything we need to accomplish 24/7. Society has undergone astonishing changes over the recent decades, with advances in technology that once promised more leisure time, yet now only seem to add more of a burden, making it more difficult to catch up. Everyone is seemingly frantic, rushing here and there, attempting to get everything done. It is no wonder we feel out of touch with our spouses, out of touch with our families, and even out of touch with our great Creator. This week's tandem Torah portion is entitled Behar and Behukotai. Behar meaning at the mountain, and Behukotai meaning in my statutes. They cover Leviticus chapters 25 through 27, concluding the book of Leviticus. As we have heard from previous parashas, Leviticus is far from being the dull and boring read most interpret it to be. Instead, if you pay attention, it is a book which conveys the character and the heart of God. These particular chapters highlight the magnificence of God and His compassion for His people and His land. The Sabbath, sabbatical year, and the year of Jubilee are just a few of God's gracious gifts. They stress Adonai's desire for His people and His land to enjoy special times of rest, to recuperate, to be refreshed spiritually and physically, and to trust that He will provide. As you read chapter 25, it is easy to see that the world has in fact lost a true understanding of a God-given rest. God's desire was for the Sabbath to be a blessing, a time for genuine rest from normal labors rather than a burdensome duty, something to be enjoyed, not endured. He created the Sabbath for all mankind. And here in Leviticus, Israel is reminded that on the seventh day, each week, the nation was commanded to rest. Also, every seventh year, the chosen land and its people would enjoy a sabbatical, a year where there would be no planting or harvesting, giving the land time to be restored and the human body and mind time to be relaxed. Adonai would provide a threefold harvest during the sixth year, supplying food for not only that year, but also for the sabbatical year and the following year while crops were replenished. Imagine the faith and trust involved in such a process. Would you be able to trust in the Lord in that way? For most, it would be very difficult. We have too little trust, too many fears, and apprehension of not having enough. But if we take a good look, we will find that many of our anxieties are based on what-ifs, what might happen. But these fears are unnecessary if we trust in God in all things. That is why Psalm 55:22 reminds us to cast our cares upon the Lord. When we find the faith to follow Him completely, trusting that He knows what is best for us, we will find strength, a new strength. God is more than able to provide for us. This trust in God is that what will sustain us through the struggles of each and every day. If the Sabbath and the sabbatical year weren't enough evidence of His love for us, God also declared another rest at the end of the seven sabbatical cycles, the year of Jubilee. It was to happen on the Yom Kippur of the new year and to be proclaimed with the blowing of the shofar. In verse 8, it states, "Count off seven Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then, had the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow, do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest untended vines. For it is a jubilee, and it should be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. In this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return to their property. Now, this was a God-designed reset button of forgiveness and restoration. The Jubilee year represented a certain perfection of the Sabbath year legislation. It provided for a double portion of rest every 50th year. Each 49th year would be a sabbatical year, followed by the year of Jubilee in the 50th, so that for two consecutive years, people would be obligated to give rest to the land and to themselves, restore personal and economic freedom, and most importantly, to depend on God. In summary, the Jubilee year was intended to be a joyful celebration of God's sovereignty, in which for his people there would be, number one, liberation. Redeemed by God, no child of Adonai can ever remain a slave. The Jubilee was meant to restore equality among the people. Number two, social justice. Equality meant lifting up those who were in need. God's kindness towards us is the motivation by which we should show kindness toward others. By all rights, Yeshua's people ought to be the most generous of all. In chapter 26, we see that obedience to God would be greatly rewarded, but disobedience severely punished. We have become so accustomed to warnings, and so seldom see them enforced, that we have learned to almost ignore them. Leviticus 26 is one of the clearest words of warning, words that we dare not ignore. It is reiterated more emphatically later in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. The people of Israel did not heed this warning, and they paid a severe penalty for not doing so. Leviticus 26 also has three major divisions. First, description of the blessings which God will pour out onto his people if they keep his covenant, in verses 1 through 13. Second, a description of dire consequences which will accompany Israel's disobedience of the Mosaic covenant, in verses 14 to 39. And finally, concluding section, 40 through 45, in which God reassures Israel's ultimate restoration and blessing based upon God's faithfulness to his covenant with Abraham and upon Israel's repentance. Chapter 27, which concludes the book, includes laws about charitable offerings and tithing to God. It could be said that obediently giving to the Lord marks the difference between those who are worshipers and those that merely pay lip service. Besides giving praise to the Creator, we must understand that God is worthy of our very, very best. For as we trust in the Lord and give him our love, our time, and offerings, he will assuredly smile down upon us. So what should you take away from today's parasha? We, just like the people in the land of Israel, need Sabbath rest. We must physically and spiritually recuperate, remembering the God of Israel and these great times of rest that he freely gave to us. We should give abundant thanks for this rest, and more importantly, for the future rest we will have in our Messiah, Lord Yeshua. Also, we should see that almost every commandment we receive from our Heavenly Father is accompanied by a promised blessing for obedience, and likewise a curse for disobedience. Obedience to his word brings freedom, personal growth, protection from danger, and many other worldly and spiritual blessings. Ultimately, obedience will lead to eternal life in the presence of our God. Disobedience reflects disloyalty and lack of trust. Disobedience causes Adonai to be disappointed in us, and he will discipline us. Let us strive to be obedient to God. We should take to heart that tithing is a part of worship to God, honoring him as our provider. Everything you have belongs to him and is provided through his grace and his grace alone. The practice of tithing provides a regular reminder of our dependence on God. In good times, tithing helps you remember that God is the source of all blessings and allows you to demonstrate your gratitude toward him. In hard times, tithing motivates you to remember God's faithfulness and enables you to demonstrate trust in God to provide for all your needs. And finally, we should come to a full understanding that God's statutes are a direct reflection for His love. And because of that, we can put our complete trust in Him. We shouldn't think about God's laws as we do secular laws. God's laws are personal. He loves and cares for us more than any legislator. Adonai's statutes are a loving instruction and command given by one who wants us to know Him intimately, just as He has always known and loved us. Even before we were formed in the womb, the one who set us apart to bring glory to His name. Shabbat shalom.